There we go. Kristen, that should get you in. Go, oh, Tally, please go ahead and do that. Oh, this looks promising.
Okay, there it goes. I tried a couple times. It just kept saying you were in a meeting.
Well, I admitted you. I clicked admit. Yeah. And then Zoom just went into saying joining and spinning.
Ah.
So it got hung up. I admitted you, but Zoom didn't complete it. And it went on like that for 2 minutes. I thought, okay, let's just start over.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know.
We're here. Okay, so let's see here. I think last. How's your family doing?
It was a rough week this week. We had the tornado for Monday. It touched down in Crockett, and it was about a mile from the house. So we didn't have any damage to the house or the cars or anything, but we lost power for a short time. And then we still had storms going, and we had a couple more that almost went into another. So it was a late night. I think by the time I finally got to bed Monday night, it was probably 1:30, and I got up for work the next day and still had work. And we had, you know, a lot of people in town had lost homes. Power was out for, I think we were one of the few that actually had power, because ours came back. We weren't out for very long, and it was back and it stayed. But there was a lot of damage just down from where we live, and the property that there's a strip mall there, that whole strip mall was pretty much wiped. There's pieces of the building left, but that's about it. And then
wow.
Right beside that is our storage building. It was AAA storage. And beginning of the week, it was apparent that there had been some damage, but we had kept hearing that it was just like some roofs and stuff like that. And we got a call Thursday. She said that some of our stuff, I can't remember what Ray said, she said, but basically like it, we got the impression that like maybe the roof had been ripped off or something. So, I mean, I was working, so Lizzie kept an eye on her brother and sister and my mom, and he went over to storage, and there's no walls left. It literally looks like a concrete pad that somebody took a dump truck and just dumped a bunch of everybody's personal belongings on the concrete pad. So he spent a few hours Thursday trying to get some of that cleaned up. The lady was nice. They weren't giving out units, but she knows everything we've been through this last year. And then this on top of that, and I think she felt bad. So she had a much smaller unit that's in the climate controlled section of the complex, whatever you want to call it. So she gave Ray a key to one of those. So he started moving what he could over there. He did that Thursday and again Friday. There's still a bunch. I hadn't seen it. I just saw pictures that he took. And I went up there he took me up there last night after dinner had settled a little bit, thinking it would help ease my mind. It did not. It made it worse. But we have to get it moved, because they've got to get that section cleared so they can probably rebuild. But also we have another storm system coming, I think Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. Has the same potential as the last one, but that stuff can't be sitting out there. Not to mention the fact that the gates don't work. The back gate at the back of the property is gone. So there's free access. So, you know, stuff could already be pilfered, and what's left. I mean, it looks like a good chunk of our stuff is still there, but it is definitely all water damaged. And there's a good chunk that's just gone. Like back where the fence used to be, we found the CD player, our 5-disc CD changer, smashed up, and my speakers, one of them completely destroyed. The other one may be salvageable. I found mail that was my mom's. I unfortunately have a feeling that the paperwork that I needed that has like the title to her van and the paperwork from, she paid for a burial plan when she died. It's not a burial, it's a cremation, but it's already paid for. I believe that paperwork, we believe that paperwork was in, possibly in storage. The file cabinet that she had, that we had in there, somehow we don't, it's weird because the top drawer is intact, the bottom drawer is just gone, like gone. So we still need to deal with that mess. That was on the agenda to get done today and tomorrow. Ray, I thought would already be over.
Tornadoes are pretty strange.
Yes. It's insane. I mean, this complex is like huge. I mean, they've got tons of buildings, and it's literally just the section, the row that ours was in, and you know, a handful of others that's completely gone. And then you've got some other sections where like there's a door missing or there's some pieces of roof torn off. It's insane. And then like the strip mall that's gone, every single bit of it gone, destroyed, except the one last building that's an insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a, you know, the big semi containers. One of those was across, had flown from somewhere and was across the highway. They had to move that just to be able to access and start, you know, trying to clear some of the mess and stuff. So it's a nightmare. And yesterday was, it was okay. I mean, like it was a rough week because in light of all of it, because everybody was stressed out. Everybody was tired. And I think the change in sleep, the stress, change in eating triggered another cycle for me, which I've already had one for this month, and I'm perimenopause anyway. So I think that's stirred that back up because yesterday I started bleeding again. So Ray last night said he was going to go today. I got woke up at 12:30 last night because I heard my mom screaming at him. So I got up and came out of the bedroom, and she pulled her crap last night, and he went off on her and he was livid. And I sat up for a few minutes and I went back to bed, and I got up today and he didn't get up right away, but I can tell he doesn't feel good. And I asked if he was going to go to storage, and he said, well, yes, at some point, but right now I need to wait until I'm not filling pads with blood. I guess I've torn something again. So he's not feeling well, and all the kids are, everybody's kind of on eggshells, and I don't know. It's just, it was rough with my mom. My mom's been in a different place. And last night she wanted to let her dog out. We had the gates up already. My son was in the bathroom that's by my bedroom, and I don't even know how I slept through some of it. I woke up when she was telling him to go fuck off. And that's when I came out, and she had already stomped off to her room. But apparently she grabbed hold of that bathroom door. She was yelling at Ray Ray, open that goddamn door. I'm going to shove these gates up your ass, and yanked on that door. And the poor boy was scared to death. So
I bet.
This week we are seeing the angry that she can have, the violent tendencies that she's been known to have. We're seeing it this week. And even the nurse saw it when she was here Friday. The nurse got here. I had told him that I had sent him a text because the nurse texted me and said she was coming. So I texted him and said, nurse is on her way, because I was working. Usually they always send him, they'll let me know and I'll tell him. The aide's taken to just texting him directly, but the nurse hasn't started doing that yet. So he was in there dealing with her when the nurse got here, and she got to hear firsthand my mom yelling at him. And then before she left, she told the nurse, asked if there's anything she could do for him. And she said, yeah, you can go out there and tell him to leave me the fuck alone. So she saw a taste of it. But last night he was fucking fuming, because he said, I don't care if it's your mom, my mom, I don't care who it is. Nobody threatens my children. And I said, yeah, I get it. Right. You can't get anywhere with her. And I was half asleep, and waking up to it, I wasn't having an easy time dealing with it. And I'm not sure what the answer to that's going to be right now. I still have another 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 5 weeks left of this training. And that's where my focus has to be. So, I don't know. I mean, we're blessed. Hey,
let me ask you something. Your mom has had angry stages before. Has it been at this level?
It was. It has gotten at this level before. It's been a long time, but this level is along the level of like, this kind of level is like what we would see this before her stroke, before the Alzheimer's diagnosis, at the point in time where she was slapping Ray Ray and chasing him around the house and saying that he had hit her when he hadn't even touched her. It's that kind of anger. And the other day, Lizzie said something to her and she raised her hand like she wanted to slap her. And she's in this mode, you know, she's the elder and nobody tells her what to do. And of course, it doesn't matter that Lizzie's an adult now. She's still a child and children should be seen and not heard. And certainly not telling her what to do. So usually she'll come out of this stage, but we are in a stage that's a little different than we've had before. She's been a little unpredictable lately. And I'm not sure what triggered it. I mean, I don't even know. It could have, you know, we tried that med, that new med they wanted to try her on. We tried that for like 4 days or so. And that did not, that was bad. That was hallucinations and made things worse. And so we stopped it right away. But I don't know if that could be, if there's going to be some normal, I don't know if that's what a part of this or nothing to do with it at all. We're just in a stage right now that it's definitely a little different than what we've had. And, you know, of course, last night it was, I'm tired of dealing with her. You know, I don't know. I think it'll pass. It's just, how long is it going to take?
Right. And okay. So options here, you talk to the nurse about a medication change?
Yeah, she asked Ray on Friday and he's like, well, you know how that's worked for us. I think if it's going to be a medication, it's got to be something that's not, it's going to be difficult. There's got to be a med that could be tried that's not like the ones we've tried in the past, because all the ones we've tried in the past, they're, you know, more of a psychotic drug, you know, they're like depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, those types of things, and bipolar, you know, all of those. And they all specifically say not to be given to Alzheimer's or dementia patients. And none of them have worked for us. So I really don't know. I mean, I would think there's got to be something, because if it continues, we will have to try to do something. The Xanax doesn't really work great. I mean, it sometimes will calm things a tad, but I mean, by no means is it something that can be given all the time. I mean, it's an as needed kind of thing.
Well, there likely is not a good medication treatment. You're trying to manage the anger part of the symptoms.
Yeah.
So it's not too destructive for your family.
Yeah.
And understanding if you can't find something like that, you're going to have to look at placing her in some kind of facility. That's where that will have to go.
Yeah. So that's kind of where my thought process was. That's been, my thought process this morning, because last night I didn't have one. I was just wanted to go back to bed.
Right. So when can you talk to the nurse about medication options?
It'll probably have to be Monday when I get off work. She doesn't, I mean, I can call the office and they'll have the on-call nurse call me, but that does no good. I need the one that deals with her regularly. And I know she, I can send her a message, but I know she doesn't typically check them on the weekend. Cause if we have something happen after hours or a weekend, we call the main office. So it'll probably be Monday before I can chit chat with her, which I needed to anyway, because she was checking to see if the Namenda that she's on is covered now, because they switched her diagnosis for being on hospice to the Alzheimer's, because before it was the heart and, you know, all that stuff she had going on, but her, you know, she's done improved on all of that. So there was not it didn't fit criteria to keep her with that diagnosis. So it got moved to the Alzheimer's, because she definitely fits that one, especially since we've had progression. So I needed to have a chit chat with her Monday anyway.
Okay. So what I'm trying to do here is leave you feeling like you're empowered to at least do some things.
Yeah. And I do. And I think, you know, there's gotta be, I do feel like there's likely something that is a low dose of something that can take it. It's not going to go away. It just needs to be taken down a notch.
Right.
You know, it needs to just be taken down to a manageable notch.
Good. That's right. If you and Ray sit down and start making a list of paper that's missing since the tornado?
Yeah.
Could he help with phone calls on that come Monday? I mean, the local people know there was a tornado. They know about the destruction.
Yeah.
And start finding out what they're going to take to replace this, that, and the other.
The title, I just need to locate my power of attorney papers because I can actually pull a new title with the power of attorney I have. The burial or cremation, you know, whatever you want to call it, paperwork, that one's going to be a little more challenging. So, I mean, there he can make some phone calls on that because that's going to be, at this point, I know that when she retired and moved here, she did move it to here because I remember her saying that she'd had trouble getting the Colorado company to transfer it to here. What I can't remember is, was that done only when she moved here, which would have been Rusk, or did she move it again when we moved to Crockett? So it's going to be talking to the different funeral places in Crockett and Rusk to see if they know anything or have anything on record. If not, then it may just be something that, unless I get a lucid enough moment that she can remember who she did it through, then I don't know how I will find the information because it was done before she ever retired when she lived in Colorado. And I have no idea what company she used.
Okay, well, Ray could start making some phone calls. And at least if he doesn't get the answer that they're the company, at least you know it's not that company.
Yeah.
So, okay. You need to get your power of attorney. Do you think that got lost in the event?
No, I'm pretty certain that it's here. I've pulled down a couple boxes. I've been going through a couple boxes this morning already to see. I think that is here. I just have to locate it. I do have a copy of it on my phone, but they may want the original. So I just need to keep looking until I locate the original because it's obviously not something I can have redone, not of current mental status. So I do have to locate that, but I'm pretty certain it's here in the house somewhere. It's just which box is it in?
Okay, so we don't know when, but at some point she may have to be placed somewhere, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We just don't know when.
Yeah.
Anytime I've gotten the initial sense, well, maybe it's going to be soon, then that sends back off and says, oh, no, not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet. No. Are you taking full advantage of the respite options?
We have not since I started working. Now, the social worker was just here towards the beginning of the month because we see him once a month. And we had discussed with him the fact that, you know, right now, going taking her to Palestine is 45 minutes away and that just hasn't fit in. And of course, at the time there for a little while, that it wasn't possible because they had so much sick going on. We couldn't use it. But he did say that he thinks they've contracted with one of the ones that are here in Crockett. So he's supposed to be checking on that and letting us know. Because if that's the case, then we can utilize that because it's, you know, it'll be much easier attainable to do. So I think Ray said he was going to try to reach out to him Monday. He was going to try Friday, but he was up at storage dealing with that.
Right. So that would be an excellent one to do Monday. Yeah. And give yourselves a week break and medical people can get an idea of what else can we try here.
Yeah.
Okay. You still liking your work?
I am. I am enjoying it. It has been, the first week was, I knew a lot of what we were covering. I was just getting more in depth with it. This last week, it was all new stuff. And we got a new learning tool it's called Drillster, but it's kind of just like electronic flashcards. And that's been super helpful because we get 2 hours of study time a day. For me, it's an hour before and an hour after class. So we have that we do. And then we also have other self-study homework, I guess you could call it, that we get assigned as well. But that is helping with solidifying, you know, keeping the knowledge right there so I'm not losing it. And that's helpful. And of course, I spent a lot of time yesterday when I got off work at 4:30, I took about an hour and sat and went through my OneNote notebook and organized my notes from the last 2 weeks. And there were some where I had like worksheets and stuff I'd done. I added those so I don't have to actually go open them to look at that. So it's going to make it easier for reviewing things. And then, you know, at the end of all of this, there's a test and you have to pass with 78% to continue. Now they did say, you know, everybody in the class was asking what happens if you don't, you get a second try. If you don't pass it after the second try, I guess it's not like it used to be where you just don't have the job. They do remediation. You know, I guess they work with you on the stuff that you didn't get to make sure that you can pass it, but I'm not concerned about passing it. I think I'm going to do fine. And it sounds like it's open, like basically kind of open book. You can utilize all the tools and resources that we have, plus any notes we've taken up to that point. So I'm not worried about that. I think that when we get through this next couple, I think we have a week or two more of the in-class learning, and then we'll get to what they call learning lab, which is basically where we're working live claims. And it's kind of like what I did when I first started, when I was working the short-term claims, where you're basically working it and you've got a mentor that's there that, you know, so you're kind of on your own, but not really. And so I think a lot of the stuff we've learned is going to pull together then. And I think once this training is out of the way and it's actually working the job, then it'll be much easier for getting things done around here as far as, you know, considering the different things that need to happen potentially with mom and, you know, getting some of this crap gone through and gone or donated or whatever. So right now my focus is just staying focused on making sure I'm getting enough rest and learning everything I need to learn. Cause it is definitely a huge learning curve, but I feel confident in it. I'm enjoying what I'm learning, and everybody that I'm working with, you know, we're doing shadowing twice a week. So there's 2 hours a day on the Tuesdays and Thursdays that I've had to someone different every time. So it's 2 hours of shadowing. And sometimes it's, you know, me sharing my screen, doing it, and them just guiding me. Sometimes it's me watching them. Sometimes it's been a combination of both. And so that's been helpful with, you know, pulling all the pieces together, because it's not linear. It's more like a wagon wheel. You're getting all the little pieces that come together in the middle, and we haven't hit the middle yet. So it's taking and learning all that stuff, but still reviewing it frequently enough that I don't lose it, because it's a lot. But the one challenging piece I had, the drillsters actually were what helped me kind of grasp it and hold it. And that was the pre-disability earnings calculations. Looking at those and practicing those while we were in the class setting, I was catching it, and then I was doing okay with it. But what really helped me solidify the various different scenarios and how to figure it and where the information's coming from was those drillsters. So that's been super helpful. So I'm enjoying it. I think I'm going to be good at it. And I think I'm going to like it.
That's great. And like we were highlighting on the group call, you continue to manifest things as you need them to pop up, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think more than anything this week, I'm just tired this week.
Yeah.
Because of everything. It was a lot it was scary. You know, and I'm thankful, you know, it was close. We were lucky that we didn't have anything, you know, any damage at our house. The vehicles are okay. The animals, the kids, mom and dad, grandma, everybody's okay. Property's okay. You know, the storage building, granted, Monday night when we were starting to see pictures show up on Facebook Monday and Tuesday, we were looking, going, okay, well, yeah, there's some damage, but looking at the pictures for where we were thinking that our unit was, we were thinking we were okay. So It was probably a little bit harder knowledge to swallow on Thursday because I had already kind of just felt like, okay, well, yeah, it's going to be wet.
It's okay.
Yeah. But so it was seeing it all sitting there, just sopping. I mean, it's just, it really does. It just looks like somebody took a dump truck and just dumped it. There's no walls left. Like there is nothing but a concrete pad. And I looked at some stuff and Ray's right. It looks like a majority of what we had in there of our stuff is there. It's all wet. And, you know, I think some of it can be salvaged. On the plus side, some of the collectibles that I had thought were still here that when we had the stuff in the storage building that's on the property. I think at some point, neither one of us remember it happening, but we must've taken it there because he found some boxes that said China or fragile. So hopefully when we get into those, that stuff's intact or at least mostly or fixable, you know, maybe glue or whatever. But I mean, some of that was still there, but a lot of my mom's stuff, we had taken it over there and put it because the front part of the storage, there was still room. And a lot of that's gone. So, I mean, the clothes, no biggie, because she has clothes here and we still have some boxes of clothes here. So it's not like that's a big deal, but like a lot of her collectibles, like she spent hundreds and thousands of dollars on these little collectible plates that have animals on them that you hang on the wall. I think so far he said he's seen one box, there should be four or five. All of the craft stuff, like thousands and thousands of dollars worth of Stamp It Up and like she used to make her own cards and stamps and all this stuff. I think a lot of that probably is in the fields miles away. I know some paperwork is gone. I don't know the extent of it yet. And the only reason I realized is when I saw the bottom drawer, that file cabinet gone. And then we realized, okay, there's a lot of her boxes that are just not here anymore. And then when we walked to where the fence used to be, where he was showing me, see, there's the CD player to kind of give me a reference point for just how far everything flew, which I mean, it was surreal to see, but I also picked up a piece of mail that had my mother's name on it. So,
you know, it's considering this and asking into it energetically, the impression is it's time for the book of the past to be closed.
Okay.
Like the tornado lands and decimates your storage locker. You know, mostly we put stuff in storage that aren't our current things. And it's saying it's another sign of things from the past needing their closure.
Yeah.
And one big step from this last year was closing the other house.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
and I'm not heartbroken about the stuff there, all of the stuff there. Some of it, most of it, you know, like you said, ready to go. The only thing that I was worried that I'm happy to see the potential is there for me to get back are a few of the collectibles that were put over there as a safe measure because we were moving around at the time. Yeah. And once we got to the other end of Texas, we never made it, you know, we didn't have an opportunity to come down here and pull that stuff out. And it, you know, worked out to our advantage because we moved back. So, you know, I think the collectibles to a degree are still there. There's some stuff of Ray's that is just not going to be salvageable. He had some antique books and comic books and stuff that he had been saving. He wanted to give, you know, pass down to the children that were his and pass down to him too. That kind of stuff. I don't know that made it, but I think that the stuff that has sentimental value, I think we're going to be able to salvage. And then the rest, this is just an opportunity. We don't have to, I guess, do the work to get rid of it because it's already gone.
It's already, yeah. I mean, literally, what my brother and I did when we were closing my mom's place, you know, she was in assisted living and yeah. She had lived in the same house since I was 5 years old. Oh, so wow. She had stuff from floor to ceiling and nice things,
yeah.
You know, nice China sets, multiple sterling silver sets, just all kinds of nice things. but she came from a generation in which people entertained and, you know, fancy. And you had at least two forks, if not three, and all this kind of stuff that we don't, neither my brother nor I are of that style. So we each kept a couple of representative things. Yeah. Of the
We didn't have it, and mine didn't have anything like that. Mine was just a set that had been, it was actually the only thing that came from my mom's side of the family that got passed to me. And it wasn't a big, fancy, expensive set, and there wasn't a lot of pieces to it. It was, you know, four or five plates to the set. You know, I had the small plates, the big plates, and the bowls that matched, and the coffee cup and the saucer. That's it. But, and like I said, they weren't expensive, but they meant something to me because it was the only thing that I got that was from my side of the family, because my mom wasn't given a lot of it. If she was, it didn't go to me. And so that has sentimental value to me for that reason. So even if all that's left is a few pieces, I'm okay with that. But to at least just have a couple pieces.
Have a couple pieces, and then as you can, come to closure about letting the rest of it go. Letting the rest of it go. And because there are things that have memories and they have sentiment, particularly for your mom. Yeah. I don't think she's going to appreciate them anymore. No. In her state and where she is. So pick a few relative things, like you were saying, and the rest let go.
Yeah.
Some of those you could sell, but it's time to, that's what I'm getting, is it's time to let some other things go. It's a pretty strong message, tornado clearing out your storage locker.
It is.
Because you don't want it all to come back and live in your house and in your garage. You may temporarily while you sell it. Well, exactly. You don't
have any room. It's moved into a air conditioned, you know, a climate controlled unit for now. That the plus side to that is that means there's light, so it can be done evenings. You know, it'll be an opportunity to go through, because we don't plan on bringing it all back here, but we need somewhere to go through it and determine what we're keeping.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have time to do that right now. So that is a plus side to that. And,
do you know of a collectibles, right? Do you know of a collectibles dealer or person that commission, of course, would handle things?
I did not see, and Ray hadn't seen yet, that much of that is still there. I think this is just going to be a recovery of this, the things that were sentimental to me and to, you know, what Ray, I don't think we had too much of Ray's in there. We found his grandpa's painting. We brought that home last night. And
so you may just have that one box of collectibles. That may be it.
Yeah. I mean, there may only be, I know there's a couple boxes he said fragile. Cause I do know, you know, like if my unicorns are there, those need to come back. I mean, I want to put those into, this house has a built-in wall. It's like a shelf inside. It's built into the wall. It has glass doors on it. And that's why I always kept those. So those will be able to come back and be put in there. So it's just going to be kind of going through. And I had like my wedding dress was in there, stored in a box, and my wedding flowers and stuff like that. Stuff that, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not. So it's just going to be going through and picking, you know, picking what is left that can be salvaged that has some value. I don't know that there'll be anything that is going to be sellable per se. I think it's going to be salvage what we want, what means something, and then getting rid of the rest.
Let go of the rest and making out, making some calls.
Yeah, it's just going to be going through it and seeing, you know, what I don't even know what's in. You know, the boxes are just everything's got wet. I mean, it rained for hours on top of the fact that they're, you know, tornado ripped away half of it. So it's hard to tell what's there. And the boxes, you know, Ray spent a few hours spent Thursday, was there for a while, came back home for a little while, and then went back and did some more. And then Friday did it again. But the boxes are so damaged and you know, waterlogged, moving them was a challenge. So he made, you know, he brought some, we had some empty crates here and some empty boxes here that he took there so we could try to rebox some of the stuff as it gets gone through. But we don't really have time to go through it right now. They just need it off of the concrete pad. So right now that's the goal. Just get it off the pad, get it into this temporary unit. And then we're just going to have to go and a little bit at a time, go through the boxes, keep, you know, keep what we can keep. And then we've got to check with them. We can't remember if we saw that they had dumpsters back there or not, because we should be able to actually even just get rid of it there without having to take it anywhere.
Right. Have I sent you a link to Tosha Silver's Abundance Prayer, which is also called the Change Me Prayer?
I don't know.
I'll put a link in your notes, and the link will go to an image, and you can blow up the image and print it. You don't have to buy the poster, but it's an information really about let the things go, the things it's time to let go, so that I can let the things come whose time has come.
Okay.
So it's not just about a grief thing. It's about inviting the energy worlds and the universe to help you with letting go things that have had their time.
Yeah.
So that the positive part is you're making room for the next things. And you've been kind of in between this whole year, really.
Yeah. Well, and then we just lost Maya a couple weeks ago, too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that going, too.
Right. So I will send that to you.
Okay.
I think you're doing amazingly well, given everything that you've described here.
Well, I feel like I am. And I mean, okay. Like I said, I'm not exactly sure where, I don't know, I guess maybe I'll have you tell me where the energy feels to you as far as my mom and Ray go, because I have no idea.
It's going to settle out. Ray's going to continue to struggle as long as your mom is in the house. Because
yeah,
it triggers his protective male thing.
Yeah.
So you may be looking at placing your mom sooner than you yourself might have anticipated.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too.
Not because you are any less, but because you don't have the means to sense where she's at now.
Yeah.
Maybe got a medication change that they can try that will buy you a little more time.
That would be good.
But I think the day is coming, and I don't know if you've looked at options about where she could be placed.
Not here. I mean, I had looked at options prior, but I haven't here. So that's, you know, that's going to be a new pickup. And I'm not, I mean, I think things with him, like you said, I think that until she's not around, it's not going to improve. Because, I mean, today he's going to the bathroom every few minutes. I think he's having the rectal bleeding again, which, I mean, his hemorrhoids do that. And I think until she's not here, I do kind of feel like that's going to cause, this is going to be a continual, because I don't know, I feel like maybe it's an allowance or a choice to allow that energy, her energy, to do that to him. But regardless, whatever it is, I mean, he has said a few times he would like to know how to shut it off. And I don't know, all I can tell, all I've been able to say is you just have to shut it off. That's what I did.
Her energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's reacting to it actually only manufactures more of that. It's kind of a hot red energy.
Yeah, it is. And she's very hot red right now. Like there is no, it's explosive.
Right. So getting into a confrontation with her just makes it worse at the point. What we're trying to do is keep things safe so that she's not getting to the point where she wants to whack one of your kids. And yeah. Part of what comes with that is words are going to come flying out of her mouth that are offensive. They actually aren't what your mom in her right mind and space would have felt or said. This is part of the disease process.
Yeah. And that just keeps him agitated and on edge, which then it's just combustible at times.
Right. So I don't know if he's up for what it would take to shut it off, because it's a real mental, emotional practice of catching yourself to not react. Sometimes you got to turn your back. You got to not react. I definitely think you calling the nurse on Monday is vital.
Okay.
And as he can, for him to make calls about the paperwork that's missing. Okay. And if he could go over and pick up some other boxes while you're working, that would be really helpful. I do see things stabilized.
That's good.
I do feel that. I don't think Ray's ready himself to undertake the health treatment intervention that he would need. I don't think he's ready for that.
No, I think you're right.
But your mom, checking on the local respite option to give you guys a break and do that. If you can do it a week, a month, do that.
Yeah.
Checking on the medication things. I'll get you that, the Tosha Silver abundance prayer.
What's up, Kitty?
Given all the stuff going on, I think you've done amazingly well. It's been quite a tumultuous year. And yeah. you're building and deepening further foundations so that as you get things stabilized, you will have the option to do a side gig.
Yep.
But you're going to get some of the foundation stabilized.
Yeah, and that's kind of been that's just what I keep, reminding and thinking about.
Right. Right. And that's coming. I know it's slow, but it's coming. Okay. So that is all good. Let me ask you the awkward question.
Yes.
Okay. So I need you to send me some money. That's the awkward question.
Yeah. And I honestly, I'm going to have to look because I have no idea where I'm at this week. That's what's killing me. I was just getting to a point where things were leveling out. And then everything with Maya, that was over $1,000. And then we had this storage thing come up, and that's up to my monthly rate there. And I still owed this month. So now that's up. I know I can probably at least get 102 today, but then I'm going to have to look and see where I'm at, because I've still got a $500 electric bill and a $300 cell phone bill to pay.
Okay.
And I haven't talked to my mortgage company yet. That was supposed to happen this weekend. I think I've already missed my opportunity today to do that. So I'll have to call them Monday evening, because I still got to figure out what is going on with my mortgage, because I can't have my payment go up $400 a month. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's my other challenge right now. When the insurance when we did the change this house policy from a renter's to the, primary residence insurance plan, the amount, of course, was about $1,000 more a year than what we were previously paying, because prior we were just covering the property. It didn't cover personal belongings. And the amount was offset because I had a refund from the other house, because that policy you know, it wasn't due to renew until February. We sold in November. So there was like $900 that went towards this policy. So it cut how much they had to pay. But my mortgage company is looking at how much the total was at that point, and that's how they're looking at my mortgage. And it's thrown my escrow off by almost $2,600. And so to rectify that, I either have to bring that, get that escrow account to that level, or their payment goes up, and the amount the payment has to go up to accomplish that is $454 more a month, which puts me in line with where I was, my mortgage payment at my old house. And then after that gets to that level, it drops the payment down, but it's still about $200 more than I currently pay. So I have to call them to find out. I need to get the, find out how that, how much time I have to work that out, because the new payment's supposed to take an effect May. So that essentially means I have next month at the regular, the payment I've been paying, and a month basically to figure out how to get that where it needs to be. And then I have to get the homestead paperwork in. You can only do it during this time of year. So I have to get that homestead paper done this coming week and get it turned in, because that will drop the taxes, because we haven't been homesteaded on this house since we left. You can only be homesteaded in the house, in your primary residence. So we don't have homestead here. So we have to file for that. So I mean, that will help some, because that's going to bring how much the taxes are down, which in turn drops how much they have to pay out. So I still have to figure, so that should drop my escrow account. So I have to figure that out. So that's the other thing I'm trying to balance out.
Okay.
Because yeah. I got to try to figure out, I got to get that escrow account, even if I can't get it, you know, I got to find out from them. First of all, I from what, from the paper I that they, papers they sent me, I think I have till May 1st to do that. So that gives me a month to figure it out and see how to get, and then I have to find out from them, okay, so say I do that, how do I go about getting you guys to adjust the payment? You know, how do we review this? So I have to get those answers. And then I've not, now I've got to look to see, you know, how much, how I can do that. Cause I've still got to be able to pay the bills here. And I still got to feed us. And this last month, the additional expensive took away any buffer I had, because I had my insurance that, you know, I had done all that overtime and had hoped that that was going to keep me at a level where I was going to be ready to take on paying up in payments, you know, getting everything else caught up, paying you. And now I've got, I'm back where I was a month ago.
Well, kind of, but not really. You step by step, you push, putting the pieces together.
Well, I'm putting the pieces together, and I've got a consistent income. So, I mean, I'm not, it's not the same, but I mean, as far as, you know, I did that extra time to get to have all those things, not be a, to still to be able to take care of those things now, but that's just not how it worked.
Okay. Well, two questions for you. I don't know the answer to either. One would be on your insurance. Do you have the option in the short term to change the coverage levels to reduce the insurance bill?
I can. I know when we did the insurance policy, she said that we could make changes at any time. So again, that's going to be another, that's going to be, a, you know, getting with the insurance company and just confirming that, number one. Number two being finding out from the mortgage company, okay, if we change these coverages and we get this proof to you, what is the process for having you review it? Because what I don't know, and I, cause I mean, and I don't know, you know, I don't know if it's something that it varies by company or if it's a, if it's just a standard within mortgage companies, but you know, this was the annual review for the escrow account. So does that mean no matter what I do that they won't review it again until next year? Or is, can I prompt them to review it again if I've made changes? Like those are questions I don't know the answer to.
Yeah.
So it definitely is going to be a phone call. I mean, I looked on their website, but you can't find those kind of answers.
No, that's a phone call.
Yeah. You
so
get
that's,
basic.
That's one thing is, yeah. You want to follow up with the homestead part, ask about the insurance coverage amounts, see if you can save some money.
Yeah.
I don't know if Hartford has any short term, but other overtime that they'd like you to help with for a week, a few weeks or a month.
I think after we get out of this training, that will be an option. I do think, because I know even my trainer has said that they frequently allow, you know, will allow people to help in other lines of business, but you got to get this base knowledge down first. So I do think that that is probably something that is going to be available to me. I just think it's probably going to be another, you know, 4 to 5 weeks before it is. Now, I can still inquire about it.
Right.
I know the COVID claims are under control. And of course, you know, those are the only ones that I know front to back. But once I get into this LTD, there's a potential, you know, the LTD is backed up because, you know, it's kind of like a stack of dominoes. They have the ones, you know, the backup that came from there is starting to make its way into LTD. So there could be potential once we're out of training to do that. And I don't think they would be opposed. I really don't think they'll be opposed to it. They obviously, their goal is to get all of these things caught up.
So that's something you can ask about. So what I'm trying to do here is paint a picture in which you feel empowered. You know things you can follow up on. You're not stuck here. So
last week is just what's bearing down on me at the moment.
Right.
I think that has caused more stress of it because of the added expense. And of course, we're driving back and forth to do all that right now. So I went to fill the truck with gas. So that was $113.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So that's, again, I'll get her in a second.
Okay. All right. Well, this is good. It's moving. I'm glad that you're all safe.
Yes, me too. I had Ray did a post, but I hadn't done one. So I figured probably later today, I probably will do that. Most everybody's on one of our friends lists, so I hadn't worried about it because I was in the mind of, I don't want to have to worry about replying on posts, so I'm not posting.
Right.
I left it up to him, and I knew you'd know I was okay because if I wasn't, I'd have reached out.
Yeah, I would have heard. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, I'll get these notes to you. If you can get some funds sent to me, it would be wonderful. Keep me posted on that.
Okay,
and,
I will.
Continue to either of us. We're here to support you, okay?
I know you are. I will hop on later after probably this evening when the kids are doing their shower time and get some extra of the 15-minute calls booked. And I need to look. I think I may have some calls booked for next month. I don't know. I will verify and make sure I get my appointments set tonight so they're off my plate.
Okay. That's great. We always enjoy talking to you.
I know. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, Kristen. Take care.
I will. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.